When we do these circles, we do them in a circle intentionally because we want to break down hierarchy, so we don't have question and answer sessions where we're at the front, because we consider everyone to have valuable insight and experience to be shared. And so part of being in a circle is acknowledging that by how we structure ourselves. And we also make use of of a talking object. I was going to bring a drumstick today, but I at the last minute forgot, so we'll just use this little pen. And if you haven't used a talking stick or a talking object before, I'll just briefly say what it does is it helps the introverts of the group be able to take the time and space that they need so that they can formulate what they say without being interrupted by the extroverts, who have no trouble figuring out things to say. And since Tim and I are both intense introverts, we always err on the side of putting in structure that empowers introverts. So what we'll just start it out. Also, if you'd say at least your first name or your first and last name and where you're from, again, to at least begin to create or solidify any connections that might happen in the group. And then let's just start out by saying one thing that moved you during seeing the film. So your name and where you're from, and one thing that moved you, or if there's some other comment that you want to make that you feel moved to make, you don't need to be constrained by the question, but that's one place to start. So, and I think I'll not start. Does anybody feel called to start? And I'll just hand you the pen and then we'll start it around going left.
Yeah, I guess I'll go this way.
Okay, and I'll say one more thing. If you don't feel moved to speak when the pen comes, just pass it along and it'll come around again.
Do you want to start?
She said she wanted to start.
Yeah, I'd start. Okay. Do it, then I won't worry about it.
You can listen.
Peggy Masters, I'm from Wake Forest, and I think the thing with the film that struck me was the need to shift people's way of thinking. That it's not, we were just discussing this, that it's not about turning light bulbs on and off. That once people's way of thinking shifts, people will just automatically turn off their bulbs. You know, so it's not getting into the mechanics of it. It's really, and how do you get at that? How do you really get that going?
Thanks.
So did you want to go to the left?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I just talked for 2 hours.
My name's Mariah Darlington, and I live in a little cabin in the woods up near Upland with a privy. So I'm very much in tune with nature, I mean, as much as I can be now. But I wanted to say, too, I'm a producer and an editor, and I have to tell you how much I admire the work that went into that. Mm. It's incredible. I mean, I do know not only the editing and the rest of it, but getting the information. So I'm still thinking about it, though, but I just wanted to say that. But that's I'm in awe of the work. It only took you 3 years. I think it should have taken a lot more. It's amazing.
Great.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Andy, I have a little bit of a cold, but I've been reading some of the sources that were in the movie, and in a few that I recognize the faces, but I was struck by how much of a synthesis it had. I mean, I felt like it really covered a lot of territory pretty succinctly, but also in a way that, you know, would try to make a lasting change on the people watching it. So I really enjoyed it. And I like the fact that there were a lot of local folks involved too. Like, you know, you saw local professors or, you know, just figures in there. That was pretty cool.
I'm Lori Hoyt, and I'm a member of this church. And in similar to you, what moved me so much was that this was done locally, and to recognize, you know, some of the faces. And just, I haven't seen Thomas Berry in 2 or 3 years. I'd seen him at some conferences that they've had at Camp New Hope for several years, and I was so moved that you got him on film while he's still with us, and that was just very touching to me, and I thank you and appreciate that you've done this.
Hello, my name is Sharon Harmon. I live in Chapel Hill, and I've lived in the country outside of Chapel Hill for 22 years. And right now, I'm feeling the presence of our ancestors so, so powerfully guiding us. But that is all that I can be aware of at the moment. So I say thank you. That is an incredible presentation that you put together. I have been fully aware of this reality for at least 7 years, and the ancestors have been guiding me to speak, act, communicate, and I've been holding back, and I acknowledge that here and now is where I place my stake in the ground. And I say thank you and hope.
I'm Joan Garnett, and I'm part of this church and the Peace and Justice Committee. I don't know, a whole lot of things come to mind. I stopped my job last June, and but I started thinking about stopping it right about this time last year, and one of the things I took was that I knew I was going to give up my work email address and then need to find another one. And so I chose Joan of Earth. Having no income right now, one of the things that helps me the most is avoiding stores. Period. Whenever possible. Carolyn used to look, I'm sorry, my allergies are so bad today that I'm not going to be able to speak, but I did enjoy the presentation.
Lark, I'm in a member of this church, and I've been taking part in this series that Gail put together. And I think there's so many things I could say, but one of the things maybe I'm touched most by is the way you laid out your process in coming to this project and what it meant for you. And because I feel like most people completely overwhelmed by the amount of information and the question of how can I change, what can I do, how can I affect those around me. It just, even though I continue to feel overwhelmed, it still feels wonderful to know that there's at least one or two other people.
Barb, just wait a second. Let's go ahead and try to actually make a circle so that we can see each other's faces. And for those of you who just came in, Joseph is taping for a podcast. If you're not comfortable with that, if you can just tell him when you speak, and he'll turn it off.
I'm Barbara Jane Lee, and I think in the past, basically the whole thing started for me when Bush got reelected, and I knew that I suddenly wanted to find out a lot about what was going on politically. And I think what's been interesting that I just want to comment on is the sort of ups and downs I've been through. In other words, being initially very depressed and overwhelmed by it, and then coming out of it and taking action, and then dipping a little bit back down. And I think the overwhelm I just really honor that in people because I know you're going to come out of it. Because I just keep going up and down and up and down, and now the downs are not so down. And just what you mentioned on the sheet of paper to do these five things to do, I feel like my life is being lived well doing all those things, trying to get up every day.
And I'm Carol Dupre, and I live in Chapel Hill. And unfortunately, I didn't really see the movie. I couldn't get here until almost 3 o'clock. It sounds like it must have been stupendous. I'm sorry, I missed it. I can't say that I did an awful lot, but that I should have. My only excuse is my sisters both killed themselves to do all of these things all the time. One of my sisters lives in California, right on the border of Oregon. And she lives in the woods, she works with Indians. And she would spend the night with them. No plastics, she has all organic food, everything is done for nature. Now I'm just losing it.
People responsible for a series of things. The process of kind of reviewing material and putting this program together was just about somewhere in the midst of that. I was introduced to this movie and I went to Southington, so setting. It was at a very good time because, like I said, the introduction, you know, there's a lot of feeling that has to go into being able to change. It's not just knowledge. It's got to come from somewhere else. It's plain people are smart enough and they've heard the information enough that they should take action, but they haven't. And it's good to find things or groups of people to help you process that, those feelings, get past the information.
My name is Gail Green, and he and I are working together on this program. I was absolutely, I love the documentary, and I was absolutely, found it absolutely incredible how much it parallels what we've been studying with the great time, how some of those things you almost have had a lot of exposure to some of the same things that David did. Well, it's not an identical analysis, but it's very supportive. I mean, it's tough, but a lot of times people will say, especially after we had a discussion group of one of the parts of the book, or after we see one of those documentaries, and people say, what a downer. This is really depressing. Somebody told me we had to find a good news chapter at the end of some of these documentaries because people were going home and they were out of sorts for a couple of days. But I sort of keep reminding people we're in a process, and the process is first you engage people, and then we educate ourselves, and then eventually you get to the point of action. And so, you know, it's like a 12-step program. I guess the first step is figuring out if you have a problem, and that's a lot of what this is about. So we're in that kind of tough stage of understanding there's a problem. Eventually, I hope we get to understand more about how we're going to, you know, act and change everything. There's an inclination to talk.
I know.
It's a really good mic.
I'm Andrea Storti, and it's sort of, watching the movie, to me, I can't say there was anything so disturbing because I've seen it in I can say that I haven't been involved and active in trying to find remedies. I have
tried to raise a couple of children who has an awareness. Certainly, expose them to some communities that are very, well, hopefully they are running sustainably. They have a sense of community effort and spirituality to them. I think I try to just live my life basically with some balance. Have concerns to act myself appropriately. Be different than other members of my family and sometimes neighbors and whatnot. But it's not always easy for me to communicate to them that I see that we all need to make changes in our lives. And certainly some of their habits, I have a very hard time saying, this is wrong. So, I'm working on it.
My name is Tom Smith. First thing I'd like to say is I'm very impressed with what you're doing here, the series. I just found out about it a couple of weeks ago, and I would have been on at the very first if I knew any better. So I wish you well, and I applaud your efforts here. Also applaud the efforts of the filmmakers. One of the reasons I came here was to review the film. And I'd like to say a few things about that. I'm always looking for a good documentary, and I've seen many that are in this neighborhood. A lot of them are very specific subjects. I just came this morning from watching Kilowatt Hours with the teens at Chapel Hill Friends meeting, and I'm very struck with the difference and I'm wondering which groups would be appropriate to show this film to. For me, even with what I know about the subject matter, it was overwhelming. And perhaps it really needs to be. I don't know. My fear is that a lot of people will walk out before it's finished, and I find that very unfortunate because of the length, mostly. Well, that's my major fear. I mean, the film was done so well. And I'm afraid it's too much of a good thing. But there's a lot of truth that's not being told. How do we tell it in a way people will listen? I think there is this film is very necessary because of its unflinching not holding anything back, and it's been pretty rare. I've done a lot of reading, and mostly the internet. Addicted to the internet, but I search good things. So, that's kind of...
I'm Connie Gates. I live in Orange County next to Maplewood Farm. One thing about the film, I liked how you said at the beginning, just let it flow over you, which is what I did. So it wasn't like, you know, the facts weren't the important thing in, you know, taking notes or whatever, but just the, as some others have said, you know, getting to the feelings, and that's what's really important, is to reach the heart more than the head. So just kind of taking that off, and I thought it was really good. And I haven't fallen asleep in by doing that, because I'm really tired and I knew I would, but I thought, well, I'll get enough of it. So, I'm sorry about that, but just having that permission to not to go to sleep, but to just kind of take it in, just let it flow over you, and not, there'll be a test at the end on the statistics, because we get the data from other sources too. Another thing is that, you know, because there were so many local people, and I only knew a few of them, other people knew a whole lot more, which makes me wonder why, even though we're in this liberal community and doing such good things, why we aren't really doing a lot more than what we have been doing when we have those kinds of resources locally. But also gives me hope for the future that, you know, if we can do some kind of synergy or synchronicity with all these folks, that we should be able to figure out a lot more than what we're doing already. So it's exciting to think that. Look forward to.
I'm Joyce Peterson, and I'm a member of this church. And my first thoughts when the movie was over were about the beginning of the movie. How you know a truth that things aren't right, that we're not connected with nature, we're doing horrible things to our planet. You know, why do the rich have all these privileges when there's people starving, the imbalance? But yet, we hold back our words, and we're not maybe courageous enough to talk about it, to share our fears. We become not connected. I really related to that. I related also a lot to the ending. I thought your ending was just so powerful, that just one person can take that major step to say, this is real, this is the truth, wake up everybody, the party's over. And then one by one, people will join in, because they also know it's the truth. I loved your movie, even though it was depressing.
I'm sorry, I don't need to talk. She's getting it to me like that. I'm Mary LeMay. I'm a member of this congregation also. And I very strongly felt the presence of my ancestors during this. And I did enjoy a minor specific thing, the wordplay that made, you know, you kind of have to think differently. Just Patriots Act is no longer just an adjective modifying a noun, but is now a noun with a verb. And there were many places where that sort of thing happened, and I did thoroughly enjoy that. But the place, I guess, that spoke to me the most of that, the theme, was that of the disconnects on so many levels, to the point that you don't even know you're denying it. And I was reminded just a week ago, I was out with a friend who's a decade older than I even, and I commented that most of today's kids have never seen the Milky Way. So they wouldn't know what they're missing by not being able to see any stars, except maybe the Big Dipper, you know, or Orion. But there's just so little up there to see now, because the air's so mucked up. He was, again, he's a decade older than I. He couldn't believe that most of America's kids haven't seen the Milky Way. And I did not retract it. I said, I think I'm right. And being a typical man in his 70s, he did not appreciate the fact that I didn't back down. But I really think that little conversation, which probably did, it's taken longer to describe it than it did to happen, I think it's an example of the amount of disconnect and the amount of denial in totally everyday places that we just aren't even aware of. And this, I want to see this film again, at least once more, if not several times. You don't have to talk into it.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
It's not a hot microphone.
Okay, okay. Hi, my name is Elliot Minster. I'm a member of this church. I've been coming to the series, been reading the book. And I think it was Pete that you said about, or Gail maybe talking about folks, you know, coming from a book discussion and or the movies and being in a funk for the next couple of days and really depressed. And I'm kind of one of those people, and I'm kind of glad that we are getting to the happy chapters now, at least okay, you know, what do we do about it now? But anyway, I really like the metaphor of the train. But first I was going, well, why a train? Because the train, you have to go where the tracks go, and then you kind of, you know, sum that up, you know, towards the end about, you know, and the metaphor of you walking on the path and, you know, going where you want it to go. So I kind of like that, okay, he's saying that he's not giving us a happy chapter, but there's a little bit of happiness there. And I also like the fact that I was, the beginning and the end kind of parallels I don't want to say my entire life, but at least from young adulthood onward, where for a while I went to sleep, knew about things, and in a college read The Limits to Growth by the Club of Rome back in the 70s, and all the things that they talked about then 30 years ago, you know, we are talking about that now, and the fact that, okay, maybe it's time to awake and, you know, get back into things and kind of at a point in our lives where we can start to think about other things than trying to raise a family, meet the mortgage kind of thing. So I was really, you know, at times during the movie I was taking it in and realizing there's a lot of information here, but the comment about that it's okay to kind of just let it wash over you was good that you brought that out at the beginning. So. Even though there were a lot of uncomfortable facts and truths there, at least I kind of feel that, okay, you know, maybe there's some hope. So, thoroughly enjoyed the movie.
My name's Joseph Fuentes. I've only been involved for about a year, and one reason is I don't read real well, but I do learn real well from audio. And it's been about a year now that I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on the environment, and the message has come through strongly, and I've been involved, and my main emphasis in getting involved is helping those that have a message be able to communicate it. That's one reason why I'm here today. What I loved about the film, it was so powerful, and anyone that sees it even once or even just hears the audio will be able to get the message. There's no excuse. The message will come through. And I think that from our perspective, at least I want to say that, I think that we're seeing a lot of people starting to get the message. But truthfully, I'm not sure that there's a lot of people getting the message, but I think there's a lot more that are not getting the message. And I think we need to keep the pressure up. And, you know, that's why I'm here trying to record this, get more of the message out. And I hope you continue making more films and other people get involved in films and keep on getting the message out and keep on putting it in front of people's eyes and ears. And part of the film, there were children in it, and I think that's one area that we really need to, that's not the whole answer, but that's part of the answer. I don't know if you remember when you were children, when you wanted something, when you got a point and you thought it was important, there was no end to, you know, whether it be safety belts. Oh, or did you have your safety belt? You couldn't move without hearing about putting your safety belt on, you know, if a child was involved and knew that it should be put on. So once we get the message across to our children, you know, that we are messing up their future, You know, they just won't let us have any peace. So I just love not that we need peace. We need to be thoroughly kicked, and I just want to thank you very much. It was a powerful film.
Thank you.